Welcome to this episode of Experience the Rav. I'm Rabbi Avi Bosowicz. This episode is adapted from a lecture given October 26th, 1974, entitled Avraham, Hilchos Avodah Zarah. In this episode, the Rav will explain three key ideas. 1. Defying gravity. 2. Two opposing worldviews with catastrophic results. And 3. Avraham as pillar of the world. Once again, that's 1. Defying gravity. 2. Two opposing worldviews with catastrophic results, and 3. Avraham as pillar of the world. As we usually do, we begin with an audio excerpt of the Rav.
Men can defy gravitation. And that's the reason why any ascent of man, spiritual ascent of man, is in Yahadus in Tanakh described at all as climbing a mount, Aleil Ayohor. Why? Because when you climb a mount, what do you do? You defy gravitation, gravitational pull. Because if man had become an object, so he would roll down the hill. He couldn't climb a hill. The defiance of nature by man.
The Jewish perspective is that man can, quote unquote, defy gravity. We'll come back to that later. In order to understand Avraham, the Rav points out, we need to understand the context in which he lived, the canvas upon which he will be projected. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, explains the historical period post-Kayin until Avraham. He describes the development and etiology of paganism and idolatry. The Rav begins by focusing on Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, in which the Rambam says, Aval tzor olamim lo haya shum adam shehaya makiro velo yado el yechidim be'olam, kegon Chanoch u'Mesushelach, Noach, Shem va'Ever. The eternal rock was not recognized or known by anyone in the world with the exception of a few individuals, for example, Chanoch, Mesushelach, Noach, Shem, and Ever. And then the sentence upon which the Rav will focus, V'al derech zeh hayah olam holech mitgalgel ad shenolad amudo shel olam v'hu Avraham Avinu. The world continued in this fashion until the pillar of the world, the patriarch Avraham, was born. Now, the classic traditional translation of holech umitgalgel is that the world moved on in this fashion until the pillar of the world, our patriarch Avraham, was born. This approach to the Rambam and the subject matter is quite reasonable, but that is not the Rav's style. As we've come to know him, the Rav always does a close reading of the semantics of language. Here, the Rav takes issue with one word, mitgalgel. The Rav points out that the Rambam should have said noheg. Both of them describe motion. Noheg describes motion. Mitgalgel describes motion. The Rav points out that the Rambam was a stylist. The Rambam had a beautiful literary style, and if the Rambam used the word mitgalgel, it must have semantics or a connotation that expresses a unique idea, which is not encapsulated by the word noheg. So what, in fact, is the difference between noheg and mitgalgel? They both connote motion. So the Rav brings us to a Mishnah in Maseches Yuma, talking about the Seir HaMishtalayach from Yom Kippur, that on Yom Kippur, they used to take this goat, and they used to push it down the hill. And the language of the Mishnah is, V'hu mitgalgel v'yored. And the goat, the scapegoat, if you will, would be pushed off of the cliff, and it would go down and fall down before it landed on the bottom. And the Rav said that noheg means a motion towards a certain destination. There's a name, there's a purpose, there's an endpoint, if you will. In contrast, mitgalgel means to roll down aimlessly. It's a directionless movement. It's precipitated by an external force like gravity that is just pulling it aimlessly down towards the ground. The Rav says you would never say mitgalgel al hahar because you can't roll up a hill, you can only come down a hill. And this, the Rav says, mitgalgel signifies man's surrender, and I quote, to the elemental external forces which push him from the outside. Just a mechanical push when man becomes an object, and galgel means, says the Rav, unsupervised, non-directed, purposeless, and destinationless motion, which usually ends where? In neglect, in abyss, or in destruction. The Rav goes on to explain that the idea plays an important role in Greek tragedy. In Greek tragedies, there is a clash between man and fate. And what, after all, is fate? Fate is an unreasonable, mad, absurd, nonsensical force that man always has to surrender to because man has no choice. And this is where the quote from the beginning of our episode comes in, where the Rav says, man can defy gravitation. And that's the reason why an ascent, any ascent of man, a spiritual ascent of man in Yahadut, says the Rav, is described as climbing a mountain. Because when you climb a mountain, you defy gravitation. If man had become an object, he would only roll down the hill and never be able to climb. And according to the Rav, that's what the Torah accomplishes. Man must display the ability and the courage to climb a mountain with shnei luchot avanim, with two tablets of stone, and defy the gravitational pull, which is the natural law. So to recap the first key idea, before Avraham came into the world was being mitgalgel, it was spiraling out of control. There was no ability on the part of man, except for a few people, to fight the gravitational pull and bring about in humanity our ultimate potential. The second key idea is that there were two different worldviews that each led to catastrophic destruction. The Rav points out that within the Aleinu prayer, we actually have a description, or a title, if you will, for each of these two pagan approaches that are encapsulated. The first one, he says, is called B'nei Vasar, or B'nei Basar, and the second one is Kol Rishei Aretz. So in Aleinu, we talk about the time of Mashiach and the Messianic era, when both of these groups will turn towards Hashem. But before we get to them turning to Hashem, what is the difference between the B'nei Basar and the Kol Rishei Aretz? What's the difference between B'nei Basar and Rishei Aretz? And the Rav says as follows. He says, when it comes to the Dor HaMabul were B'nei Vasar. How are they B'nei Vasar? So in Bereishis Perek Vav, we have in the first few psukim, Vayhi ki hechel ha'adam larov al p'nei adama, uvanos yildu lahem. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, Vayiru v'nei ha'elohim, et benos ha'adam ki tovos heina v'yachul lahem nashim mikol asher bacharu. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were pretty. They took as wives all those whom they chose. Vayomer Hashem lo yadon ruchi ba'adam la'olam. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. B'shagam hu vasar, for he is pure flesh. V'hayu yamav mea v'esrim shana, yet his days shall be 120 years. And this worldview of the B'nei Vasar, of the Dor HaMabul, was a permissive generation that surrendered to any type of carnal pleasure and any type of beauty. That was what their worldview consisted of. In the words of the Rav, and I quote, what do they preach? Permissiveness, that nothing should interfere with man who wants to enjoy life, no law, no norm, no command, no responsibility, no limitations, no restrictions. If man thinks that this is a way to enjoy life and he wants to derive pleasure, he has a right. This is part of his freedom. He has a right to satisfy all his carnal needs, and he doesn't have to surrender to any law. Nothing defiles a person. Nothing contaminates a person. A person should simply do one thing, satisfy his desires, and that was the philosophy of the Dor HaMabul. They were typified by a hedonism which drove itself and the environment towards annihilation. In contrast to the Dor HaMabul, was a second way of life, which was the Dor HaFlaga, and these were for the Rav the Rishei Aretz. Bereishis Perek Yod Aleph Pasuk Dalet says, "Vayomru hava nivne lanu ir u'migdal v'rosho b'shamayim." They said, "Come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach the heavens." V'nasa lanu shem pen nafut al pene kol ha'aretz. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And he said, this type of society is not about an individual's carnal pleasure and hedonism. It's completely the opposite, where it's totally dedicated without any restriction, not to the individual, but to the state, or to a certain idea, or a doctrine, or an economic or political system. In the words of the Rav, and I quote, the society is ruled by power-hungry man who want to possess and to own the individual, deprive the individual of his soul, depersonalize him, and to convert him into just a machine, into an object, to become an object of this idea. According to the Rav, they don't believe in this worldview that every individual has his own approach to life, that each individual has his own unique talents. They said about the Dor HaFlaga that when a man used to fall off, they ignored the man, but when a stone or a brick used to fall off the tower, Migdal Bavel, they used to cry. And he says, if you had to put that in contemporary terms, and once again, this is in the 70s when Rabbi Soloveitchik is talking, he says that B'nai Vassar corresponds to Western society that worships the individual, and excuse me, Rishay Aretz would be China and Russia. And the Rav says, this is the world that Avraham entered. This is the landscape which Avraham entered. And this is what the Rambam means when the Rambam says, Amudo Shel Olam. An Amud is symbolic of balance and of support. Avraham stopped the world from Mitgalgel, from rushing madly into the abyss. And Avraham was the one who began bringing out in humanity and getting followers in a way that we needed. Ad Shenolad Amudo Shel Olam Vehu Avraham Avinu. He was the great man who was born. Harehu Av, he is the teacher. Kol Ha'olam Kulav, the entire world. And Shenichlasim Tachas Kanfei Ashchina, that people joined under the covenantal community and they agreed to live and follow Avraham's ways under the wings of the Shechina. To recap our three key ideas. Key idea number one, defying gravity. Unlike the Greeks, we believe in Torah that any human being can defy gravity, but it takes great courage, and for a Jew, it requires of a Jew to hold the luchos closely, to cling to the ways of the Torah, and that is our way to avoid the natural tendencies in man and to chart our own destiny, and that's who Avraham Avinu was. Key idea number two is a description of two extreme worldviews, that of the B'nai Vassar, who were the Dor Hamabel, where people worshipped the individual and a hedonistic lifestyle, which had catastrophic results. And second, Migdal Bavel, which were the Rishay Aretz, according to the Rav, with a deification of the state. And third, finally, key idea, Avraham as a pillar of the world, that was his, with his emergence, the world stopped being Mitgalgel, and he began to teach ethical monotheism and stop the rush into the abyss. I leave you with a clip from the Rav, in which he explains the symbolism of the term Mitgalgel.
In other words, Mitgalgel signifies men's surrender to the elemental external forces which push him from the outside, just a mechanical push. When man becomes an object, because a person cannot be pushed, a person moves because he decides to move. When a person is being pushed and he rolls down the hill, so then he acts not like a person, he acts like an object. Like a thing, you see. His misgalgel means to move aimlessly down the hill. And the movement is not due to a free decision from within, to an inner quest, or a vision, or a desired objective, but a blind mechanical push. And Galgel, Gilgul, Galgel, his Galgel, means unsupervised, non-directed, purposeless, and destinationless motion, which finally, usually, ends where? In a cleft, in an abyss, in destruction.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go to www.experiencetherav.com and contact me to be added to the global community of Rav enthusiasts or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities. Until next time.